You're listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon, where Ray shares tips and strategies for how to become a top earner in your company. Let's get into the episode.
The gentleman that I have with us here today is a YouTube phenom, an absolute rock star. And I'll tell you just a little side note in case you're not so sure, Z's, about YouTube is I was on a Clubhouse the other night. I do not get on them as often as some, because some people go on there for like 8 hours a day. But I hop on every once in a while. And I heard Lewis Howes, I believe, was talking about this. And Lewis was saying how breaking down the different social media platforms and how the biggest moneymaker from his perspective is YouTube. And this gentleman that I have on today is just an absolute rock star and has been helping a lot of people for quite a few years. And I'm real excited to have him on here. Let's bring up Evan Carmichael. Evan Carmichael, how are you?
I'm great, Ray. Thanks for the love, man. Good to be here.
Yeah. And I appreciate, you had me on, I think, your Instagram, right?
Yep.
Yeah. We had on Instagram, had a very nice chat. I wanted to, have you on here and expose our wonderful tribe to what you got. So Evan, how did you become this mega rock star online? How did this go down?
It took a lot of work and time and effort and patience and struggle. I'm an introvert. Naturally, I'm shy. I'm afraid of the camera. I don't want to be famous. So I struggled a lot in terms of making content, because what I battled with was I have no need to be famous, and I don't like being the center of attention, but I also have this mission that I'm on.
Which
I want to serve. I don't want to help. I want to solve the world's biggest problem. I think people don't believe in themselves enough. I think everybody's got what I call Michael Jordan level genius at something, and they're not chasing it down because either one, they don't believe that they could be great at something, or two, they don't know what it is or how to chase it down. And so that's why I do what I do. And that mission requires me to step outside my comfort zone and step up. So it took me 5 years to get the 7,000 subscribers on YouTube. And then 5 years to go from 7,000 to 2 million. And a lot of that was me coming out of my shell and getting better and being a little more comfortable getting on front of the camera. And then also just learning the strategies and tactics of how to actually win on the platform.
That's so awesome, man. And I love it. We're in a nice way. We try to attach from our side. We try to attach selfishness to playing small. And it sounds like that's what you've done. You're like, man, I got this mission. I don't want to do it. But would you say that? Do you feel that it's selfish for you not to play big like you are, or would you call it something different?
No, I like that. I tie it to one, I do difficult things, and then two, I'm here to serve. So we're doing this on a Thursday. Thursday is what I call my public facing day. So it's my extrovert hat on day, where I'm doing all day interviews and podcasts and all that. And every Thursday before I get started, I look at my calendar and I just hope that none of it happens. Like, I'm waiting for Ray to cancel on me. All good. Hey, Ray, no problem. Yeah, we'll do it later. And I have this moment of anxiety because I don't want to let people down. And I'm afraid I'm not going to show up as I want. And it's my introvert self kind of coming up to the front. And every Thursday before I get started, I have to remind myself, one, that I do difficult things. That just because I'm scared or that it's hard is not a good enough reason. So I have to do it. And then two, I'm here to serve. Like, I'm here to help. Why does Ray want me on his show? Because I have a message that hopefully his audience can learn from. And so that's the part of the kind of selfish. It's selfish for me to hold that in. It's selfish for me not to show up because I've got information hopefully that can help people.
Yeah.
That's my intent. Whether it happens or not, at least that's my intent going in.
I just love it. I love it so much. And I think people battle with exactly what you're talking about. Is they battle with, well, I don't want to make money off of people, or I don't want to, ask people, to buy my things or whatever, but I also need to go serve people. Do you teach people how to do exactly what you're talking about?
Yeah. When people bring me in, it's either one about belief and mission and entrepreneurship and starting up, or about hardcore YouTube. How do I grow? How do I scale? I'm either way. I'm happy to do either one. I think at the starting point is understanding that you have a purpose, and your purpose comes from your pain. And whatever you struggled the most with in life as a human, where you felt the lowest, whether you were depressed or suicidal or whatever was the lowest moment in your life, it's recognizing that there are millions of people who currently are that way right now, and they need your help. Your purpose comes from your pain. You can touch them in a way that Evan Carmichael can't, that Ray can't, that Tony Robbins can't, because you've actually been through what they are currently going through.
Right.
And by you not speaking up, by you being afraid, and by being silent, you perpetuate the silence.
Right.
Everybody stays silent. And so it's your job to step up and be a leader. And that'll be the most fulfilling part of all time. Like we know that we like to serve. You know, if you hold the door open for somebody or buy the coffee for the person behind you in line, this is a little moment, this hit of, I did something nice for somebody today.
Right.
But when you see somebody who reminds you of older you, right, or like who you used to be, and you have a conversation with them, and maybe it's only a 3-minute conversation, but you see their eyes light up because you represent hope and possibility, that fills you up on a whole other level.
Yes.
And I know you do that in your work, and I do too. And everybody that I've met, you mentioned Lewis Howes, same thing. We want to help people who currently are who we used to be, and that will never get old. We'll be 150 years old in an old age home, and still, as long as our brain can function, still want to be able to serve.
Yeah. Man, I just love that so much. I know, I doubt you've seen much of my content other than our interview, but we talk about this kind of stuff all the time, because so many people, they want to help, they want to serve, they want to do these things, but they just won't step up. Do you have some suggestions around that? Is there some mantras? Is there some, because it sounds like you look at your Thursdays, you're like, I hope they cancel, but I also need to. And so it sounds like you feel the, I don't know if it's fear, but you feel the stress or anxiety, and you do it anyway because you do big things. Is that part of maybe your suggestions, or what would you suggest to the person on here?
So I switched the language in my head to feel the fear, and instead of do it anyway, do it because of.
Mm.
The fact that I was afraid to do it. Think about what you're afraid to do. I'm not suggesting you just go jump off a balcony because you're afraid to do it.
Sure. Right?
I mean, just don't be stupid. But most of the things that you're afraid to do are because of somebody else's opinion.
Right.
We're actually not afraid of failing. You're afraid of failing and somebody else seeing you fail.
Right.
You'll sing in the shower, but you won't sing on the street corner.
Yeah.
You're afraid of failing, and who's going to watch, right? You're afraid of failing in front of people. So I try to stomp that out, right? Like, I just don't want to live that way. And so anytime I catch it, like, it's feel the fear and do it because of. And that's led me to do a bunch of weird things. You know, I mean, I walk through an airport with my eye mask on, filming videos. I painted my nails orange. I've done a whole bunch of different weird things that don't serve my mission necessarily, but just more for me to be proud of myself. Because every time you're afraid and you accept that fear is a good enough reason, you teach yourself that this will keep happening. You just keep reinforcing that belief that
you build that muscle.
Yeah, there I did it again. Oh, there I did it again. Oh, I'm too afraid, and I'm going to be a perfectionist, or just go back to overthinking and overplanning. So I'm not going to do it. You just keep building that muscle of fear, and I want to build the muscle of attacking the fear.
Right.
So that's the hardcore push. Like, I do difficult things. I'm not going to back down just because I'm afraid. And sometimes that works really well. And then the softer push is the service. It's like, I will think about the audience, and I'm here to help. This time last year, I was speaking at Ed Milet's group in Whistler, and this is mastermind. People pay $50,000-$60,000 to be in this group, and the speaker list was all exclusive. Like, I didn't even know who else was speaking at the event. And I get there, and I see the guy before me speaking is David Goggins, who's like the most intense human alive.
Yes.
Right? I got to follow David Goggins, right? Come on. And then after me was Peyton Manning.
Oh my God.
If you don't know Peyton Manning, the one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time.
I'm a Colts fan, so this is amazing.
So I look at the lineup on the day of, and I'm panicking. It's like, I'm between David Goggins and Peyton Manning. Are you kidding me? I mean, I knew Ed was speaking and Andy Frizzella and you know, that group, but I was already scared enough, let alone having to be sandwiched between these two legends. And I was having, you know, heart palpitations and sweating and just worried that, oh my gosh, what am I? And they're paying $50K to be here. It's like, I'm stressing out. And the I do hard things didn't serve me as well as I'm here to serve these people. Mm. So I look at the stage and I kind of.
What a great distinction there. Because that's such a good distinction to draw, which one pulls you more powerfully in that example. It's amazing.
Sometimes the harsh one is what you need, and sometimes the hug is what you need, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it just depends. So I look at the audience and I realize, hey, Ed Milet asked me to come here to share with these are all 8-9-figure entrepreneurs. He asked me to share with them how they can grow on YouTube. And what does David Goggins know about YouTube? Or Peyton Manning, right? It's like nothing. I'm the Peyton Manning of this.
Yes.
And I need to go and serve, right?
Yes.
So you're going to talk about other stuff, which they're experts at and way more motivation than I am. But for this thing, I'm the best. And I need to help them. I need to tell them. I need to be there with them and show up as my best self so that they can get a result when they go home in their business. And as soon as I'll look at somebody's face and I'll just imagine them and that they left and I didn't get the information to them. And that is the thing that their business now fails because I didn't show up. Right. And so I just default to the service side and then, okay, I'm still nervous. I'm still scared. Right. My heart's still beating, but I have the courage now to stand up on stage and do it because I want these people to leave with a result.
God, it's just awesome. I love it. I love that way of thinking. That's just so cool. I mean, we talk about this kind of stuff, but the distinctions you're making are just so powerful. So someone's on here, they've been through trauma, they've been through obstacles, maybe they've been through some form of abuse, they want to serve, they find themselves just too stressed out over asking someone to buy their product or subscribe to their YouTube channel or even do the darn YouTube channel. What do you suggest to them? What might be a first step or what would be tactics for them?
To start creating content, don't worry about your book or asking for a sale yet. If you're at the beginning stages, you start creating content for the you of 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like just try to sit back to who you used to be. Who did you used to be? Go back to that most painful moment when you felt alone, neglected, depressed, that you had no value to the world. We've all had those moments, maybe multiple times. We've all had those moments where we feel like nothing's working. Why is this happening to me? Like everybody, that's what makes us, connected as humans. Nobody's life. You might think everybody's life is perfect if you go to Instagram, but nobody's life is actually like that. Especially if you go to the past. And so think about who you used to be and give them a message. So just imagine talking to I still make videos for my 19-year-old self. Like this video here with Ray is for my 19-year-old self. It's what I need to hear. And tapping into that to get creative inspiration, because it's so easy to look at, but look at everything Ray doing and look at everything Tony Robbins is doing. And who am I? I'm nowhere close. I'm not good looking. I'm not good in front of the camera. I don't have the gear. I don't know the technology. And we talk ourselves down from those things. But if you were to sit down, like imagine you could go to the past and sit down next to the 19-year-old version you or whatever age it is for you. Do you think you could help him or her? Like, do you think if you could sit on a park bench for 5 minutes in that moment where you're at your worst, do you think you could give that person a message, former you? And it's always yes. Of course, you'd be able to say something. Maybe it's strategy. Maybe it's just a hug. But you'd be able to do something. Great. Now do it, because there's lots of people who currently are facing that right now and they need your help. And then the second thing that I find really helpful, at least for me, is I always focus on the people that I have instead of the ones that I don't. And I think when you're making social media content, you look at what everybody else is doing, like, wow, they have 1,000 people or 10,000 people or 100,000 people. And I only had 18 people watch my video. And for me, it's always, I had 18 people watch my video, right? It's like you focus on what you've got, right? Or I had 100 people watch my video, which might be a failure in YouTube world. But
sure,
if you had 100 people on your video, if you were to go give a speech at your local library or YMCA or something and 100 people showed up, you'd be nervous. You'd be freaking out. You'd be like, oh, God, there's 100 people out there. I hope I give something. But now that it's online, you think that it's a giant failure. And so I would always just focus on the people who are here, who are showing up, who did listen, and be grateful for them and try to help them instead of the millions of people who aren't yet and feeling like a loser myself that I'm not there yet. And it's funny because the thing that gets you there is focusing on the people who are watching.
Yeah.
Serve them and help them and give them a message, and they walk away from your video or your piece of content with their life feeling a little bit better. Guess what? They're going to come back and they're going to tell their friends about you. So those two things, talk to your younger version of yourself because you have a message that can help. And then just focus on who is in front of you. Even if it's four people watched it, you have a message that's helping them. Focus on them and they'll take you to everybody else.
It's awesome. I get two quick stories that are right in alignment with what you're saying. One, back when I used to run real estate events, we would get, 100, probably our best was like maybe 200 people because it was a local, meeting. Mm-hmm. And one day we had like six people there. And I think I was maybe 25, maybe something like that. So, little immature, not full grown. And so I was disappointed and, I didn't have a great energy, do the thing. Afterwards, this lady comes up to me and says, hey, it's clear that you're disappointed that there's not more people here. And I'm like, yeah, usually we have more people. I'm not even getting it, right? And I said, yeah, we normally have more people. And she goes, well, I'm here. And I know she didn't mean that as a lesson, like she meant it as a punch in the jugular. But man, that stuck with me forever. And so I'm just so grateful for that lesson. And I think that's really powerful how you're saying that, and that, don't be disappointed with who's watching you. Someone's watching you. Like that's amazing. Second story, and I don't know if you've ever done this kind of exercise, but I was trying to overcome some of my social anxiety. I can get on camera, I can get on a stage. I don't have that, right? I'm okay there. You talk to me one-on-one outside the stage, I freak out, or at least I used to. And so I was digging into that, and a hypnotist, my friend Elliot Rowe, I don't know if you know Elliot, but he took me back to my younger self to tell myself, hey, everything's gonna be okay. You're gonna grow up to have a great business, a great family, great kids. You're gonna have an amazing relationship with your wife. And I go through that process. And so at first I actually didn't believe it, because I realized I didn't believe my own reality. Like I used to say things like, it's unbelievable how great my wife is, because I literally didn't believe it. But in thinking about whenever you were going through tough times, like when I was going through abuse or going through foreclosure or going through dead broke, like what would you say? That is such a simple but powerful exercise to come up with content. I haven't heard anyone say that, man. That's really awesome.
It helps you get started. Because you're going to make a video on what the message actually is. Like your video might be, you're going to make it. It's okay. You're going to make it.
Yes.
But if you go to YouTube and you type in, you're going to make it, you'll probably see some great speech by Tony Robbins or something about you're going to make it. And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. Now I can't call my video this. And Tony already covered it or whoever. Right. And I suck. I could never do that. And so we lose the connection to the audience, because you're just comparing yourself to somebody who's, if you're looking at a Tony Robbins video now, who's been speaking for, 40 years or whatever.
Sure.
It's an unfair comparison, but those are the mental gymnastics we go through in our head. So if you just think, no, I'm going to sit on a park bench and talk to 19-year-old Ray or 25-year-old Ray, who's at that event with just before he goes in and say, hey, Ray, I got to let you know, there's only six people inside. Here's what I need you to know.
Like, that's awesome.
You could have a message then talking to that Ray. You'd say something that would actually, like, could you help that Ray? Yes. Great. Make the video. And at least I use that. And I've used it as a tool to help people, because I use it for myself.
Yeah.
I would imagine. And we talked about Hank, who's a mutual friend of ours. He would train me to think about an entrepreneur. Like, just don't talk to the camera. Talk to somebody. Think of somebody. And so I would imagine this entrepreneur friend of mine who just kind of never seemed to get it together and always needed the coaching and the push. And so I would just imagine him when I was recording my videos. So I would talk to him And I know I can help him because I've helped him. And so if I can help him, I can help everybody else. I just happen to be talking to a camera instead.
That's so perfect. That's so perfect. So how can, do you have a, what can we promote of yours? do you want us to, how do people subscribe to your YouTube? That's step one.
Yeah, YouTube. I mean, you just look up Evan Carmichael, you'll find me. I do training as well, that if you, I've got two programs. One's called Movement Makers, that if you're trying to get your movement off the ground, we meet every 2 weeks and we go through training on tactics and how to do it. I've already shared a few kind of surface level here, but we go deeper into it. And also just to have a supportive community, to have people on the same journey. So for example, we're doing 100 video challenge right now. So you got to make your first 100 videos. Like, don't judge yourself.
Nice.
Until you've done 100 videos. Don't look at
now, is that one a day or however many?
Some people are like the aggressive ones are going one a day.
Oh, okay.
On either Instagram or YouTube. It doesn't have to be one a day, but I need you to. So this is the new thing inside our Movement Makers program. It's what it's called, Movement Makers. Don't judge yourself until you've done 100 videos. Like, don't convince yourself that you suck after you've done 4 videos. You're supposed to suck after 4 videos. Like, what do you think was going to happen? You're the next Larry King after 4 videos, right? Like, just don't expect to be great so soon in, and then to do that as a challenge together to say, hey, I want to get better at this, and I've got people who are doing this with me, cheering me on. It's just been super fun, and I know you see it too. When people have an idea and they're purpose driven, and they know they can have an impact. And then because of talking to you or being around my program, they do something. It's just the momentum, right? Like, they take the first step. And when people message you and say, hey, because of your Facebook Live, I made my first video. And that's what they need. Like, they have everything else. They have the story. They have the mission. They just took the first step. And it's like, it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then you take another step and another step. And I know you've seen it too. 6 months later, a year later, couple years later, they message you back and say, Ray, you may not remember me, but I watched one of your videos and I left a comment and I took your advice and here's where I'm at now.
Yep.
Thank you for giving me the push. Right. And that's at the end of the day why we both do what we do.
Yeah.
Because we want to have that impact. So YouTube channel is great. Movement Makers, people can join. But most important is just do something. If you get inspired by this or any of other Ray's other content, like, just go take action on your dreams.
That's so cool. That's so cool. So if you're on here, make sure follow Evan on YouTube, Evan Carmichael. It's right on the screen there. Follow him on YouTube, check out his different videos. And if you know for sure that you have teammates or friends that need to see this, short 20-minute video, feel free to share it with them. I think a lot of people need to see this. A lot of people need this kind of advice. And so feel free to share it. Evan, I really appreciate you coming out here. I'd love to have you out again, maybe on a Thursday, to have you talk about YouTube strategy and more of that. But I just thought this was way too good to have you talk about YouTube strategies.
I love it. Hey, I never know where it's going to go. And I think that's what makes you a great interviewer too, is like, you're not just locked in. Now, this is the only thing I'm going to talk about. So that's a skill. That's an art that you've picked up, and it's been awesome being a part of it. Thank you guys for having me, and see you soon.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Home Business Profits with Ray Higdon. And be sure to head over to rayhigdon.com/profits to download your free audio where Ray shares his 29 sources of network marketing leads. Tune in next time for more tips and strategies on how to become a top earner in your company.